T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Play the game with me.
He wants to score. He doesn't want to come off the bench.
Play the game with me.
He doesn't want to come off the bench. Gosh.
Hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench.
Do you know Melo?
No.
Okay, so
I don't even know Steph Curry.
But maybe he's changed. Well, let's call up Steph
16.
Curry. He might know Melo.
Hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench.
But let's play the game with me.
You think all of a sudden now?
Why? If he wants to play?
Hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench.
I'm asking you two to play the game with me. If Carmelo said yes, I'm willing to do that, would you want him?
Get out of my studio.
I like it. Good energy today. Good energy. I like it. I'm all
Carmelo Anthony Glenn.
Let's go back to the phone calls. Here's Fitzy in Dartmouth, not our Fitzy. Hello, Fitzy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
Hey, first of all, Wiggy, I loved you. I was at the snow game in Patriots Raiders. Loved it. What
it
you did,
one.
That was awesome.
You were awesome.
And I loved how you made Rob Parker swallow his pride. That was just unbelievable. But I got to tell you.
When did you do that?
Carmelo Anthony.
Hold on. When did you do that? Rob Parker? The Rob Parker from Fox?
I might have.
I don't think you did. I think we did.
Wiggy,
when did you do this?
Wiggy talked to Rob Parker, and he turned him around and made him admit that the racism in Boston isn't as bad as people say it is.
He's talking not about Rob Parker. He's talking about Jason Whitlock.
Oh, come on. Let's get him straight.
I'm sorry. Like, Jason Whitlock.
That's all right. It's a big difference.
My bad.
What are you talking about?
But
Whitlock's about 300 pounds. Big difference.
Good. I want to hear Fitzy. Let him get to his mellow point.
Wiggy, this Carmelo Anthony thing. Mm-hmm. His initial stands for can't adapt. He cannot adapt, brother. I know you wish he could, and your theory on paper would be great if it was a possibility, but he's not that kind of player. He's not going to come in and do that and go, okay, yeah, I'll be fine. I don't know what kind of money he'd want to be a role player and, you know, be told, you do this, you do that. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, you're going to sit down. I don't know, Wiggy, man. I'd love to see it happen, but I think we got to look elsewhere, brother. Thank you very much, guys. Happy Friday. Have a good weekend.
I don't want to see it happen. I don't want to see Carmelo Anthony.
No.
What are we wasting our time with Carmelo
Anthony? So who's scoring coming off the bench for you?
I just told you. Carson Edwards is going to score coming off the bench a little bit.
So who's scoring coming off the bench?
Jaylen Brown's coming off the bench.
You think Jaylen Brown's coming off the bench?
I'll tell you one thing. I'll bet you anything right now they're going to have to start Marcus Smart because defensively they're going to be too loose in that starting lineup.
Wait a second. Jaylen Brown, the same guy who had an issue with coming off the bench last year, is now going to be cool with coming off the bench this year.
I didn't say he was going to be cool coming off the bench. I said he's coming off the bench.
Okay, so then that means there's going to be some issues there. That was a big problem for
him last
year.
I think you guys are concerning yourself too much with the bench. I think you need to look at the starting lineup and make sure that, first of all, can we get Jason Tatum back on the trajectory he was after his rookie year?
Because
he came back last year. And we hope that Hayward will now have that Paul George-like where, this was the 1 year, it was your mulligan. Now can you get back to Utah Hayward? If he does that, the Celtics will be fine. What was Golden State's bench? Yeah, they had some guys.
Yeah, but players in the NBA do not want to come off the bench. A guy like Jaylen Brown does not want to come off the bench.
Carmelo Anthony doesn't want to come off the bench.
Carmelo's at the point where it's either come off the bench or, like the one caller says, you got to go to Japan and play.
You're right, but he doesn't realize that.
Well, then he got to go to Japan and play.
Okay, maybe he goes to Japan and play. I don't know.
If he goes to Japan and play, then you don't got to worry.
Basketball league over there? I don't even know if they have it.
Well, maybe he's from Korea. You know where Carmelo Anthony can start right now? And he wouldn't have to come off the bench. The big three with Ice Cube. Yes, the big three.
Well, then there you go. If he doesn't, we're not willing to take a bench role. But Jaylen Brown does not want to come off the bench. So now you're already causing issues. You have no bench scoring because Jaylen Brown is not coming off the bench. You're starting him, Tatum, Hayward, Walker, and Cantor. So Marcus Smart's not a scorer. He's not the guy you want coming off the bench for scoring.
That's why I want him starting, because I need defense right now.
Yeah, you don't have any good defensive players.
I'm telling you, you're going to put pressure on Kemba Walker with Kanter playing back at the center spot. Teams are just going to pick and roll you to death.
Yeah, Kanter,
you know what's
going to
happen.
Man.
No. So you're going to get killed. I think they'll end up starting Marcus Smart because Brad Stevens emphasizes defense.
And then what happens if Gordon Hayward does what he does last year?
They're in trouble.
He's not playing well, and they still keep Jaylen Brown coming off the bench.
If you get the same performance you got out of Jason Tatum this past year, and Gordon Hayward gives you the same inconsistencies that he gave you last year, then this team is a 7 or 8 seed. Then he's going to be more correct in his seeds than you are of where they're going to finish. They're going to finish down there. Now, I don't believe that's the case. I think Hayward's going to have a really good year. I think he has to. You know, he's finally got to get his act together.
He's getting paid $32.5 million.
Yeah, but I throw the towel in.
But mentally, is he going to be able to get over the injury? It's not about. That's the biggest thing with Hayward is mentally. Can he say?
I don't think that was
fine.
The problem.
You don't think that was the
issue? No, and I'll tell you why I don't think it was the problem. Because there were nights that he went out there in which we all sat and said, "That's Gordon Hayward."
Yeah, it was against Minnesota.
Right. Okay, so we did it.
Unless they play Minnesota every year.
No. At Golden State,
he did it numerous times.
Yeah, he did it.
He did it numerous times. Here's what I think the problem is. He's very shy. He's not one of those guys that's aggressive and takes his role, which is exactly what Kyrie Irving does. If you're not going to score, I'm scoring. Screw you. I'm going to take over. He's not willing to do that, and he's got to do that. I think it's all in his approach. He's sitting there, well, is it my shot, or is it Jalen's shot, or is it Jason's shot? Whose shot is it? You can't be like
but
that.
And that's why with Kyrie Irving gone, the addition by subtraction, he was basically...
But Kyrie wasn't the issue for Hayward.
Well, no, I know, but I'm just saying Kyrie as a whole was the one who put that toxic environment inside the locker room.
No, he wasn't.
Well, he was, because he was the guy...
The issue that Hayward had was Brown and the coach, and they were force-feeding Hayward.
I get it, but Wiggy, I covered this team. I was in the locker room. I saw how Kyrie...
You weren't there.
He was there.
Yeah, no, I wasn't there.
He was sitting on Kyrie's lap. He was there.
I was getting into him with
the locker room. Did you hear Mark James? He goes on the radio, and he rips the crap out of these athletes, and then I love it when I hear the post-game press conference, and I'm watching there, and he's so polite and so nice to these guys. And I just want to be there some night right next to them with a tape saying, you want to hear the real Mark James? Giannis, Kyrie.
Mark James, Nesson, you've shot at an extremely high percentage over the course of the last 3 games,
what
especially tonight.
Up.
The Celtics just can't seem to defend you. So
how, on the
opposing side, would you defend you?
That was the Greek Freak. That was the Greek Freak.
It's unbelievable.
He loved that question, too.
Of course he did, because you were sucking up to him.
Well, you know, he was the MVP.
And then he's on the next morning. I'm tuning on the radio the next morning. He's ripping the crap
out
of these guys.
That was the question.
That's why Sobriquet is the pivoter.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the Greek Freak. And listen, he killed the Celtics in that series, except for game one. He killed them. All I'm saying is this, Wiggy, you concentrate too much on the bench. I think Danny's not done. I think there's a chance he's going to acquire Miles Turner from Indiana. And if he does, then now you have that defensive style in the middle who's one of the league leaders in block shots. Mm-hmm. You got to get someone like that, because right now they're going to get killed underneath.
That's not true. I just heard everybody talking about the summer league. They have Taco.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They have Taco as well.
Taco's going to swallow Taco time.
I think he had like, didn't he have like 10 points last night?
Yeah. Hey, Glenn, who was the best player last year in the summer league?
Taco Tuesdays.
It's time for Taco.
Dushan Ubaselli, I believe, is the best player.
Where's he at now?
He's out of work.
Yeah, okay. But that's different, though. Taco's a much better
He's in line player. With Callahan. Out of here, over here.
Did you not see Taco?
Garson Ubaselli?
My friend.
Stand on his tippy toes and dunk.
I can joke about him. What's that?
Did you see Taco stand on his tippy toes and dunk?
Yeah, but
Taco's the guy. He's going to be the slot and center. There's your rim protector right there, Glenn.
Are you serious right now?
He didn't get drafted.
I didn't even know when you're serious. Or are you just performing now for Greg Hill, seeing if you can get auditioning? Yeah. Come up with something wacky.
I got to see how Greg,
I'm
doing.
I'm the wacky guy.
The problem is this, and this is what I've said with the Celtics team, that when you look at where they are, whether they're the third seed or the seventh seed, because that's what everybody is in that role, right? When you look at the distance between Philadelphia and Milwaukee, between the rest of the league, that's why I say it's about adding play. I don't know who's out there now. If there's a trade, you said trade with Miles Turner, but you have some pieces that you might be able to trade away and see if you can get it.
Hey, Glenn, This guy wanted Boogie Cousins.
Yes.
He wants Carmelo Anthony.
The smartest 7'7
guy. Two
guys,
when you think of team chemistry
guys.
Why,
you wouldn't want Boogie
winners.
Cousins on the team?
No. I would. I just, yes, fine. I will take Boogie because Boogie can. You don't understand about Carmelo. Carmelo Anthony's done.
You heard Chauncey Billups. The one thing Chauncey Billups said was he was a good teammate.
Oh yeah,
he was. Not what. So it's not like Carmelo's gonna be a
but he was
a
more
problem in the locker room
with putting up 30.
Yeah,
points.
Right. That's when Carmelo was a starter.
Hey, Pete, they said I gotta come off the bench.
Well, I said, enjoy.
Sounds like he's really down for that though.
Enjoy,
he wants to come off the bench.
Enjoy the middle of the pack.
Oh, yeah.
in the NBA season in the East.
Glenn, how much is this Danny's fault? I don't think Danny truly thought he was going to lose Horford. See, Horford's the gut punch to me.
Yep.
That's the one you didn't see coming.
Right.
Kyrie, you kind of knew when that Madison Square Garden press conference against the Knicks, he said, ask me July 1st. You're like, okay. And then he acted like a dink the rest of the season. I didn't see Al Horford. And I think that's the guy that's going to hurt the Celtics more than anything.
But my problem with Danny is, and I've been known as a Danny suck-up over the years, mainly because I think he's excellent at his job. He's terrific at what he does. So what Danny did is said, and this is where people are still defending him, and they're saying, well, he had the right approach. Because in the NBA, you win with superstars.
Right.
So what his plan was is he trades away Isaiah Thomas, okay, with one of those high draft picks. He gets himself Kyrie Irving, who's one of those top 15 players. And then he's going to go out and get another superstar who might be a top 5 player like an Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant. He's going to pair the two together, and he has what is the ingredients you need to win an NBA championship. That was his goal. And I say, great.
Yep.
That was his goal. He had the right approach. Here's the only problem. He failed. And so you can't sit there and say,
yep.
Well, you know, I said the same thing. And I hear talk show hosts sit there and go, well, I can't really rip Danny because I said the same thing. No. Here's the difference. We're blowhards who say crap on the radio. So we can agree or disagree with these. Danny Ainge is judged on whether Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis is on his squad or whether Taco Fall is playing with Carson Edwards.
But, Glenn, we all loved the trade when he got Kyrie. And he gave up Ante Zizic and Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder. We all loved it.
Yeah, but he didn't finish.
He didn't finish.
But how do you
compliment him when he doesn't get the job done?
No. He's got one title in 19
right.
years.
So I'll give you this. So let's go last year. We all bitched during the course of the season about Dave Dombrowski.
Right.
And we said, bullpen.
Blowpen.
Okay. You said blowpen. Right. Okay. Yeah. And guess what they did? They won the World Series. And when it was over, even though we all disagreed with Dombrowski, you got to give him credit.
Sure.
Now let's fast forward it to this year, and you're using the same blowpen again, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's failing.
Yep.
So if it fails, and over the next 3 weeks, the Red Sox fall out of this because the bullpen is not good enough, whose fault is it? It's Dombrowski's.
No doubt.
He lives and dies like Danny does with the moves he makes. So we could sit there and say, well, I agreed with Danny. Yeah, but you're not the general manager. You're not the president of basketball operations. He is. You can get away with it. I can sound foolish on the radio. I do it
every
single day.
You also realize
he can't look foolish with a mistake.
Here's the difference, though. The Red Sox did have a great closer in the postseason, even though he didn't pitch great. He gave up a lot of walks in Craig Kimbrell. They went into this season with some hubris attitude thinking, well, we won a World Series.
Because it worked last year. And that was the failure. You're right. That was the failure. Because they looked at it and said, I'm not sure that Kimbrell can do what he did for us for an entire season because he didn't do it last year. He fell apart in the playoffs.
And the Celtics are the same thing, Mark.
But you know what Dombrowski really failed, Glenn? He took the World Series title, and what's the worst thing that any GM or president of operations can do? He gave the guys who were responsible for it, Pierce, $6.5 million, Avaldi, $17 million a year.
Right.
He gave them emotionally contracts because he was attached to that World Series title. Instead, even John Henry said, he goes, you know, usually you have some turnover. The teams don't look different. They look different from year to year.
Right.
He got two attacks. Like, let's give it. I would have rather forget Pierce, let him go, take $6.5 million there, don't give Avaldi $17 million, and go out and get a closer. Not Kimbrell, but someone.
But the Red Sox had a similar thought process. I mean, the Celtics had a similar thought process as the Red Sox because their biggest thing was And we got to the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7, with the young kids. So we don't really have to alter and make a bunch of moves. And the thing about the Anthony Davis, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday.
But that wasn't the long-range plan. No, the long-range plan was to put somebody alongside Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and as Mark said, Al Horford.
Right, but
Danny
when
was blindsided
when they
by
got,
that.
But when they got to Game 7, I think what that did is that kind of, you know, poisoned the water a little bit.
Worst thing that happened.
And the problem was they didn't want to come up off of – now, I don't know how true they were. Or they didn't want to come off of Jason Tatum because New Orleans was willing to trade Davis to the Celtics.
Sorry.
But we want Tatum, and the Celtics like, no, untouchable, because they thought, well, maybe it'd be 1 year with Davis and then he would –
We already discussed it in the last hour, and that is the NBA you live for today. The NBA, that's why guys that are moving now are giving up $80, $100 million because all they want to do is go someplace for 2 years. Let's see if it works, and then we'll go to the next place. And that's how you have to think in the NBA if you're running one of those franchises. Mark James and Wiggy. Who's available for employment, full-time employment. He'll be the first one to let you know. Resume on hand and T-shirts. He'll
Wiggy
change his T-shirt
Greg
on
Hillman.
The fly.
Who? Wiggy and Greg Hillman.
Greg Hillman.
Hillman. That's
Hillman.
What I said.
Okay, good. Hillman. 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 Or Greg Hillman. You got to know the guy's name first of all.
Hey, Wiggy, I think he's going to get the first part. It's going to be Hillman and Wiggy.
All right, I'm cool with that.
He's already got the show. He's already got the show going.
Hey, listen, I ain't like Richard Pryor in Harlem Nights. I don't need to be top billing.
Al Horford sat down with the media in Philadelphia today. Did he talk about the Celtics and why he left? We've got it for you coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Once again, it's Glenn, Lou, and Christian. Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
It wasn't an easy decision, but I did it, and I felt like there was going to be a lot of options for me. When June 30th came around, things escalated very, very quickly. And there were multiple teams. A lot of strong interest, and I had to, make what was the best decision for me. And when Elton called and spoke with my agent, he laid down his offer. I was very surprised, that there was that strong interest for me being here, and made the decision very easy.
All right, there you go. There's Al Horford down in Philadelphia. So why did he opt out of Boston? Because he said he was surprised there was all of this interest out there. So wait a minute. I thought he loved it here in Boston.
He loved it here in Boston. Yeah.
And so my understanding is that Boston's offer might not have been as much as Philadelphia, but this is coming from Jackie McMullen now, so this is a credible source. That there was a 4-year offer, and it was a healthy offer to Al Horford. I still don't understand this. So he doesn't have the balls to just come out and say it. I wanted to play for Philadelphia because I thought I had a better chance to win. Now, he gets into it a little bit because he's excited, guess what, about playing with Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. I've always been a fan of Joel, and just everything he brings on the court and off the court. And, there were some great battles. And when this opportunity came along and the possibility of, teaming up with him, got me really excited about the potential, how good we can be, help our team be defensively, just get to working together and do some special things. So I'm very grateful, to be in this position.
Can I throw it out again? I hate to bring up Patrick Gilroy. Unfortunately, and this is a No, this is a positive. He should feel proud about this because I regard him as the face of the Green Teamers.
Right.
And I say that as a positive. He's got passion. He wants the team to win. I like that. I want the team to win as well.
I've got a problem with Glenn.
I'm just a little pissed off that they seem to be going in a different direction. Doesn't that piss you off if you're a Celtic fan? And he's sitting there drooling over Joel Embiid.
Which he owns.
Right.
Do you know that Joel Embiid's lowest field goal percentage versus any player in the NBA is Al Horford? He's shooting 35% against Horford. You have respect. You own this guy.
Horford's 9-3 against them in the regular season against the Sixers, and he's 4-1 in the playoffs.
Right.
What this tells me, Glenn, what this really does tell me, kind of saying like, you know, wanting to play with Embiid and that kind of thing, it almost tells me that when Kyrie left or wasn't coming back, that was his kind of green light of going, I don't want to play with the Celtics because Kyrie's not coming back.
So why aren't people questioning this? Why aren't people looking at it and saying that he doesn't have faith in the young kids?
No.
So there's one thing about sitting there and saying, well, you know, Jason Tatum's got to take it to the next level or whatever. This is a guy that was with him every single day. And I'm not saying that he's coming out and saying any negative about Jason Tatum, but the draw of playing with Jason Tatum, who the Green Teamers think is going to be the next superstar in this league, or Jaylen Brown or one of these other players, that's not enough to excite this guy. He's sitting there telling us, as Mark just said, a guy that he seems to control.
Mm-hmm.
Would very few players defend against Joel Embiid. He does. He's sitting there going, no, I want to play with that dude.
And let me ask you this, too. Who's the best, now that Philadelphia has lost both Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick, who's their best three-point shooter right now? Al Horford or Tobias Harris?
Right.
Tobias Harris. Josh Richardson.
They're trying to get Kyle Korver right now.
They'll end up with a guy.
But you're right. That's the weakness. The two weaknesses I see with Philly is outside shooting. First of all, and second of all, who's going to close out a game?
That's it.
Who's going to close out a game? Here's the thing.
I don't blame Danny Wick or Brad Stevens for Kyrie is a bag. He's a bag. Let him go. Fine. It wasn't on
the Al wanted to play with Kyrie.
But here's the thing. Al Horford leaving the Celtics to me is an indictment that he thinks of this roster. That's an indictment. Like Glenn said, he does not believe in Jason Tatum.
Right.
He does not believe in Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and the guys that are left here. He said, I can go to the team that I beat in five games a year ago in the second round.
But it also shows that Kyrie Irving isn't that much of a bag because Al Horford, it seems like he would have loved
to play. Well, they actually got along.
So he would do what's necessary to stay within reason.
So we need to stop with the Kyrie's a bag thing. Yes, Kyrie had some situations.
No, he is a bag, though.
No. But there, when you look at it, there were guys on that team that wanted to play
I think in the end, you're gonna hear a story come out. And who knows? Maybe Marcus Morris will be the one to reveal the story.
Mm-hmm.
That the veterans on this team really had a difficulty with the young players, did not think that the young players were taking it seriously enough. Right. I think you're going to get that eventually.
Yep.
But the Al Horford leaving like this is one thing that surprises me, but the reaction by Celtic fans is even more amazing. Yeah. Why doesn't it piss you off?
No, I know.
You know why it pissed you off yesterday?
Not only the three players leave, like Morris, Kyrie, and Horford, they're all within the division.
Yeah, but
they didn't go to the Western Conference. They're the Knicks, the Nets, and the Sixers.
Al truly, genuinely loves Boston.
I think the reason why nobody cares is because of, you know, one of your co-hosts, Lou Maloney, who, you know, came up with Al? Yeah, the sobriquet Average Al.
Why did they scream it at Lou for the last 2 years saying, Lou, you're wrong?
So,
and now suddenly the guy leaves and suddenly it's okay because now he suddenly is Average Al?
So, because the reason why I think there will be a lot of people out there who would go, I would not want to pay Al, 4 years and whatever it is, 109 million.
Why not?
He's not a great player.
Because there are people who think that he's just a good player that fits good in the system, but he's not worth that type of money.
Yeah, see, I like to have those salaries because I think if you've watched the maneuvering that's been done by the teams in the NBA, you need to have some of those big salaries to be able to trade him away for somebody else's player that you want to get in return.
I'm all on board that I think Al Horford's a traitor because, in my opinion, if he stays with the Celtics, even without Kyrie, and he knew that Kemba Walker was coming here, they're the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Guess what? The first thing you said today, that actually makes sense.
Well,
I agree
with you. Everything I say makes sense.
No. You want Carmelo Anthony.
You just hear it differently.
No. But you're right. You are right. I put them behind Milwaukee. I probably put them three, though.
No, they're still... If Al comes back...
Yeah, they're better than Philly.
If Al comes back and you get Kemba Walker...
Forget about the seeding. In a seven-game playoff series, you tell me who's going to defend Joel Embiid Al Horford. Thank you very much.
No one.
Okay, who's going to defend the Greek Freak?
Glenn,
who's going to defend
him? Nobody.
Thank you.
So this is
what's the problem? You can't beat those teams in a seven-game series.
Don't forget the Lopez twins. They got them both now.
I tell you what. How about Orlando in a seven-game series?
Ooh, Vucevic.
Okay?
Yeah,
that may be a problem for you, okay? So to me, forget the seeding and how many games they're going to win.
Some pretty good size. What's the left-handed kid?
Sabonis.
Yeah, Sabonis. Yeah.
So that's the problem I have.
That's why Danny needs to get Miles Turner.
I don't think they can stand up in a seven-game series. This portion of the program being brought to you by FW Web Company. Back to the phone calls next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
As a younger player, be on our team and see how professional he was, how he took care of his body. Really respected him, just seeing how he did it when he was with us. And I'll tell you a quick story about him. We were getting ready to go to dinner one night, some of the guys and I. We were about to get in the elevator. We get into a city that's, you go out and have dinner. He was just in the elevator going to his room, and he was coming from the gym sweating. He just did like an hour of cardio, and he was just drenched. So like his commitment to wanting to win and do the right things, inspired me back then. He believed in me. He believes in this group and what we can do. When they came knocking and approached me, it felt right.
That doesn't bother you,
that's your heart and soul.
That doesn't bother you.
Yeah, granted, I know he's not worth $100 million, but when you look at the way the league is, and you say that he would have been still a good piece for this team and make you a contender,
that hurts. That hurt. Losing Horford is the biggest loss for the Celtics. That's the one that's just because.
Well, the other guy was a better player, but this one caught you by surprise.
Yeah, caught you by was a gut
and
punch.
And you've got no replacement for this guy. You've got a replacement for Kyrie in Kemba Walker.
Sure,
you got no replacement.
None.
I mean, you look at last year and you look at defensively, and we talked about how good Al Horford was in defending Joel Embiid. So his backup was as well. Yeah. Baines was pretty good at it. And now you got none of those guys.
And Cantor is awful defensively.
Awful.
He does not play defense. He's allergic to defense.
Don't forget, Al wasn't bad when he had to go up against Giannis a few times.
No, he was okay.
You're
not going to stop any of these guys. You're going to slow him down a little bit.
But Wiggy, as
you could make the switch. Like when Al got caught in a switch against Giannis, you didn't feel like, oh, it's an easy bucket.
But Wiggy, as the roster's currently constructed, as Glenn pointed out, who is going in a seven-game series? Who defends Brook Lopez in the Greek Freak, or who defends Embiid and Horford? No one.
You have no one.
Yeah. Oh, Taco?
No, you
Taco
don't.
Taco time?
Taco's not going to make.
You
this
don't
team.
Have anybody.
Stop it. At best, you put him up in Maine.
Tice,
and you let him
Greg
work
Tice.
At it.
See us, who Daniel. Tice, you got to have
out there. No, yeah. He's not doing it. Right. Right? Yeah. But doesn't it upset you a little bit in that Al Horford is sitting there talking romantically about Elton Brand, who is the personnel guy now, runs the Sixers, and talking about the old days and what he means and what it means to come here and stuff like that. We're going through the entire press conference. There's no I love Boston. Boston was the greatest. Boston was terrific. Are you kidding me? And we're falling for it?
Yeah.
I ain't falling for it. Y'all are falling for it.
Well, all right, let me get to the phone calls. People want to talk about it. Jerry's in North Andover. Hello, Jerry.
Glenn, boys, look, why aren't people talking about this or upset about it? Because the team is now going to be a loser team for years, and No one wants to. No one cares.
See, I disagree with you because the Celtic fans that call and they're passionate. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to knock them because of their passion. They're calling up and they sincerely have, I think, a high ceiling for this team next year. Not world championship. They're not going that crazy. But they actually think this team could compete in the Eastern Conference at the top of the Eastern Conference. Okay, I agree. But they believe that right now, and so therefore they're sitting there going, "It's not a big loss." Mark's right. Al Horford lost a big loss.
Well, but remember when they brought Al Horford in, he was going to be what made the team. But of course, that wasn't true either. So what difference does it make?
Yeah, but he was tremendous. Especially this past season, Al Horford was one of the best players off the pick and roll in the NBA. He and Kyrie actually they got along. They played well together. And I just have this vision. You know, watching this team the whole season, the one constant from a positive standpoint, every time Horford's open on the perimeter, he's nailing threes. He's nailing it. His outside shot improved so much from Atlanta to here.
Well, he didn't start shooting it until the last year in Atlanta. Right. He didn't shoot threes.
Right.
Well, he picked it up in his last year there.
Because
he realized that the position was changing and it was now a stretch.
The other reason why is, you know, Glenn, you made that point of like, well, you know, everybody's like, you know, thinks they can compete and this, that, and the other. And hey, you know, if they can compete in the playoffs. The difference, I also believe, is it comes from management and the head coach. That's what makes the Patriots such a great organization, because for them, it's about winning the championship. And if you don't win the championship, that season
is a failure.
Right? Yep. But you don't hear that from Danny. You don't hear that from Brad.
You were from Brad and Danny. They want to win a championship.
No, but you don't see it. It's to me, when it comes out of their mouth, it's kind of like lip service.
I don't buy that. You don't think Danny tried to keep Kyrie Irving and he tried to go out and get Anthony Davis? He failed.
But why
he failed? He didn't get the job done.
Why wouldn't you put Jason Tatum in there? If you really were about winning, Tatum would be
because I think they feared that Davis was only going to
Who
be here
cares?
For 1 year. They feared that on top of that Kyrie might leave. So if now do you make that deal? Kyrie leaves at the end of this year.
No,
you have Anthony Davis without Kyrie next year, and no chance of getting
Kemba. And his agent Rich Paul,
right?
Rich Paul, come on and said we're going to leave. You got 9.5
months.
Why couldn't
you have gotten Kemba?
You still would not be able to get Kemba.
Why? Why wouldn't you have been able to make the move to get Kemba Walker?
Because you wouldn't have the money to do it.
You wouldn't have the money?
No, because you had to match money to do the Anthony Davis deal. Now, there were ways they could do it and keep Al and do Kemba Walker, but you'd have to be over the cap. There's certain things you'd have to do.
So you wouldn't
have
been able to make the deal for Davis and Kemba?
No.
I don't believe you could. It'd be very difficult. Yep. Very, very difficult to do all that stuff. So he was looking at it saying, okay, what happens if this fails? Listen, I'm not going to compliment Danny. I'm not going to bail him out on this one. He lost. Yep. It didn't work. Because of it, he's got issues right now.
You're in the NBA purgatory. That means you're like the middle of the pack. You're
worst
place.
You're going to be a cute little team.
Yeah, that's
a cute little team.
And when this kid out of Duke next year, Jalen Johnson, who's 18, who's going to be 18 years old coming up, is the number one pick, Celtics won't be near to get him. They don't forget.
Yeah,
that Memphis is top six protected next year. The year after, it's unprotected.
Yeah, but I don't care about guys coming out of college. I care about
high
school, whatever. I care about guys
in high school.
I care about guys that are in the league that I know. Okay, right. I know what Anthony Davis is. I don't even know, like Zion Williams. Yeah, it'd be great if you can get him, but who knows?
All right, here's Joe in a car. Says Wiggy is crazy.
Hey.
We already know that, Joe. Go ahead. Give you a reason.
Yeah, Wiggy, when you look at this idea to get Carmelo Anthony, who's not really a team guy at all, it really justifies the fact of why you're just a fill-in guy and continue to be a fill-in guy, because you throw out these ridiculous ideas that you don't even think out.
Chauncey Billups said, listen, did you not listen? Joe, did you not listen? Chauncey said he was a great team player. He was a great guy in the locker room. See, I don't think you. I don't think
the history of the teams he's been on.
Yeah, but we're not talking about.
One thing like that.
We're not talking about the teams, whether he's been on a team that's been successful. You're talking about a player in Chauncey Billups that has. Listen, I played with Randy Moss, and Randy Moss was one of the greatest locker room guys I've ever played with. just because you're not a player who hasn't been on a lot of winning teams and you haven't had success as far as winning championships, it doesn't mean you're a bad team player. See, I think that's where you're missing the point.
He's had the opportunity to be that leader many times when he was on the Knicks, and he failed.
Yeah, right,
He failed as a guy that wasn't able to carry a team. I'm not asking him to come here and carry a team, Joe. I'm asking him to come here and play 15
minutes. You think he's going to listen to Brad Stevens?
No.
Listen, when Chauncey Billups is a former teammate.
What influence is it going to be on the younger guys, Wiggy?
Well, I don't, Glenn, somebody please help me.
I'm supportive.
No, I'm supporting it. The problem is people are so dumb. I'm willing to start to think that a lot of people are deaf and can't hear.
Save that soundbite.
Chauncey Billups said it. He said, listen, it was a great teammate. He was a great locker room guy. His issue was that the problem was it was all about getting over that 30-point mark. I'm not asking you to bring Carmelo in as a starter. I'm asking you to say, hey, would you be willing to take a role in and maybe a guy who comes in off the bench for scoring? Get the wax out of your ears, Joes. Now you can go see one of these people. They got these wax things. You lean, you light on fire, and it cleans the wax out. I'm not asking Melo to come here as a starter.
Wait a minute. You light him on fire?
Yeah.
You put them in your ear?
Yeah, there's these wax-like things. You put them, like, in your ear, and it helps for people that can't hear. And you light it, and then it kind of goes down like a wax candle, and it goes down.
Hey, Pete, they said I got to come off the bench.
And it gets all that gook out of your ears.
Really?
Yeah, so it helps with a lot of people that clearly, when they're saying, they're not listening to what I'm saying. It helps that out. A lot of ear wax. Mm. The problem is people are so dumb. I'm willing to start to think that a lot of people are deaf and can't hear.
So you light it on fire? I'd be afraid I'd light my ear on fire.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's wrong.
I would be too.
Are there instructions to this thing?
Yeah. Well, it's probably,
disclaimer?
It's probably about 12 inches long. And then when you light it on fire,
Jesus.
Then it's kind of like a candle, and it gets all that wet.
I'll give you a good Johnny Most story. So Johnny couldn't – he was losing his hearing. And
sounds like there's a lot of Johnny Most listeners out there.
He was losing his hearing. And at one point in his career, he could not hear at all in the left ear. So finally, he went and saw the ear doctor. Thank you very much. Let's bring back the nostalgia. So they went in there. And they thought they were going to, you know, find some wax, probably put that thing where they light them up on fire. And they take it out. Instead, they found an IFB. A TV thing that you use on TV from a TV show.
Door.
From a TV show he was doing like a month before, in which it got stuck all the way back into the ear. Those are the things they use on TV.
Was it infected?
You use them in your ear
so
that you can hear what the producer, the director is telling you to do.
Right. Was it infected? Was it like all?
Yes. They took that out. A week later, they took out a 57 Chevy. They took it right out of
the ear. Was he able to get, was he able to hear better after that, though?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, a lot better.
Well, this guy Joe must have an IFB in his ear because
I was just thinking about it when he said, you know, the guy's deaf and he's going to use something to put him on fire or whatever. Oh, he's the guy that wants to agree with Ricky. Let's try
finally
this guy.
Somebody
here's,
who can hear.
Here's Devin. Hello, Devin.
Hey guys, what's up?
What's up, Devin?
Not much. I just want to say, Wiggy, you know what you're talking about, man. This is the second time I've called in and said Wiggy knows what he's talking about.
Good. Guy with good hearing here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nobody's listening to you. All you're saying is you're just throwing an idea out there. Maybe this could be a possibility. It's not going to happen, but, you know, it's an idea.
That's not what he's saying. You're not listening. You're deaf.
No, you're deaf.
Devin's listening.
He wants Carmelo Anthony coming off the bench for the Celtics.
I know what he said. It's an idea. It's just
people
an idea. And that's what people aren't listening. No, you're deaf. Wiggy's deaf.
I am going deaf. I got to tell you that.
See, Devin knows what he's talking about. Devin knows what he's talking about.
People tell me what to do around here.
The point is so dumb.
Right.
The point that I'm making is that if you can get Melo and he's willing to buy into that role, why not have instant scoring coming off the bench?
Because there's a history of him not being willing to accept that role.
Right. There's been a history. But there's a history of everybody
doesn't want to come off the bench.
There's a history of everybody.
Chauncey Billups is telling you he doesn't want to come off the bench.
Chauncey Billups saying, listen, if he buys into that role, there's a history with every NBA player. DeMarcus Cousins, you're afraid of bringing him in because he has a history here and there. There's always going to be history tied to certain players. And if you go the route, I don't want to sign this player because of his history. You know, if you didn't want to sign Randy Moss because of his history, history.
But Wiggy, you got to understand, Daryl Morey is one of the best general managers in the NBA. He brought in Carmelo Anthony for a specific role.
Right.
And then Carmelo Anthony saw James Harden and Chris Paul, that they're the focus of the team, and Eric Gordon.
Right.
And he's like, I want to start. He's going to pull that crap here.
We don't know. Maybe.
Wiggy,
maybe,
we do know. He's got a 16-year sample size.
Well,
we do know.
Anything.
So this last guy basically said, you're just throwing it out there as an idea. You don't really mean it. And we're giving you a hard time, and we're stupid, and we're dumb.
Yeah.
Because that's all you say. No, you're saying you want it to happen.
Yeah, I would like for it to happen.
Well, this guy thinks it's okay because you're just throwing it out there. You want it to happen.
It's my idea that I'm throwing out there. There's no guarantee that's going to happen unless Danny makes the decision. But you said it yourself yesterday. We had this discussion. Where are you getting bench scoring from? Marcus Smart?
I think he's going to start. I told you, because they're going to need him defensively. Jalen Brown is going to give you
Jalen
scoring
Brown
off the bench.
Jalen Brown is not coming off the bench.
Hey, Glenn, yes, Glenn, remember when he made the deal? I'm talking about Danny. He made the deal for Kyrie Irving a couple years ago. He did it in August. I think Danny's not done yet. I think he's going to make a move, and it's going to happen over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
I don't buy it. It might happen by the trading deadline. I'll give you that one, Mark. I just don't think it's going to happen between now and then, because it's so much more difficult to do deals now because the rosters are pretty much complete.
But who thought
Glenn,
who thought a week ago that Russell Westbrook would get traded after all the smoke had settled for
everybody
free agent?
Yeah, everybody. Everybody did. After Paul George was gone, Westbrook said, I want out.
Everybody thought he was going to Miami, though. That's all we thought. We were like, he's going to Miami.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes the... But we talked, Glenn and I talked about it where... Or no, it might have been Keith when I was on that show.
All
and
those
I was
white
like,
guys look alike.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, one, Keith, one's older thing. Than them. Yeah. And right. I said, as soon as Paul George went, I said, Celtics, pick up the phone
and call for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Glenn, another winning player, Russell Westbrook, right?
What does that mean? So you wouldn't want him?
No,
I tell you what. I will watch. I will stay up at night. I will watch Houston Rocket basketball. Are you kidding me?
My theory is, what has Giannis won?
Well, he's nothing.
Okay.
Nope.
Hold on. Championship in Greece, maybe?
What has Giannis won?
Anthony Davis won? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But I would give me, and the NBA is the one league, it's about the talent and
superstars.
Elite players. That's it.
It's about coddling the kids and bringing kids in here and nurturing them and hanging with them for 5 years on the shelf.
Don't give me the Detroit Pistons from 2003.
Anomaly. One in a million.
It really wasn't an anomaly because you look at that.
They were good next year. They were all All-Stars.
But they went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
You know what it's like? You know what it's like saying you can win an NFL Super Bowl championship without a quarterback because Trent Dilfer did it.
And Nick Foles.
That's what it's like.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's an outlier.
I want all the superstars.
All right, we're going to take a break. 617-779-7937. OMF, Mark James is here today. Wiggy is here. Coming up, we'll continue to talk about this. We'll throw the Red Sox on the table. Does anybody have faith that in the next 3 or 4 weeks, this team is going to stay in the race? I'm afraid they're going to fall out of this thing. We'll get into it. And if you missed the news at the station here today, not good. We'll give it to you coming up as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.